Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thank you for listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. My name is Eric Gould. It's 8 o'clock, and here is your local newscast for Monday, December 10th. No new tips have been discovered in the Dylan Red Wine case, despite the efforts of more than 300 people who spent Saturday searching for clues in his disappearance. The 13-year-old has now been missing for 3 weeks. The search covered 60 linear miles of a La Plata County road where Dylan was last seen. Investigators wanted to cover the route before the weekend's storm brought snow. According to investigators, of dozens of items flagged by searchers, 10 were collected for future reference. Besides the citizen volunteers, personnel from at least 17 local, state, and federal agencies and groups took part in organizing, supporting, and conducting the search. Investigators continue to follow up on information from the public in their effort to find Redwine. Anyone who may have information on Redwine's whereabouts is asked to contact the La Plata County Sheriff's Office. The state of Colorado won't sue Longmont over its fracking ban, but will support any oil or gas companies that choose to do so. The Denver Post reports that Governor John Hickenlooper's office made the announcement on Thursday to about 300 oil and gas executives at the Rockies Midstream Conference in Denver. This is a change from Hickenlooper's last statement in September when he said that Longmont's efforts to ban hydraulic fracturing would likely bring a second state lawsuit. Hickenlooper spokesman Eric Brown told the Post that, quote, "The state will not sue Longmont over the fracking ban because there is uncertainty over whether the state has legal standing to sue in this instance. But we do stand ready to support an energy company that does file a lawsuit in response to the ban," end quote. Brown said the state's support of any industry suit would probably be through a friend of the court brief. In November's election, Longmont residents approved a ballot measure which makes the city off-limits to hydraulic fracturing or the storage of waste from the practice. Mayor Dennis Coombs told the Post he was pleased by the governor's decision, but not surprised. The State Oil and Gas Commission already has one lawsuit against Longmont after the city passed its new oil and gas regulations in July. The commission claims that the regulations trespass on their authority. Scientists throughout the West are trying to solve the mystery of the disappearing mule deer. Since the 1970s, biologists in Colorado, Wyoming, and Utah have seen deer populations drop by 50%. Theories as to why vary. Oil and gas drilling and a growth in coyote populations top the list. From Aspen Public Radio, Luke Runyon reports.
Our trained professionals.
About a dozen men and women stand on a flat ridge as the sun peeks over a nearby hill. These biologists and veterinarians clutch coffee cups, trying to keep away shivers from chilly morning air. We're standing in the middle of the Piance Basin, about 40 minutes outside Meeker. They're out here trying to figure out how mule deer are handling the rapid growth of oil and gas drilling. The Piance Basin means a lot to both mule deer and humans.
Well, it's the largest migratory deer herd in the state, and it's also one of the largest energy reserves in the state.
State wildlife researcher Chuck Anderson is the leader of this particular study. Scientists with Colorado Parks and Wildlife are herding up mule deer to study why they're disappearing so quickly.
Mule deer throughout their range have declined since the late 70s, early 80s. We're probably at about 50% of the numbers we had back then. And there's a lot of factors contributing to that. I mean, I don't know that you can point to any one thing.
Those factors fit into two camps. One school of thought says coyote and mountain lion populations have gone unchecked, and the predators are killing off mule deer in greater numbers. The other says human encroachment in the form of oil and gas development and road building has fractured the deer's habitat and diminished the sagebrush mule deer forage on. That buzz you hear in the background is a small blue and yellow helicopter that's about ready to take off. It's the method of capture for gathering the mule deer out of this area in the Piance Basin.
Ready? Yep.
The team rushes to the deer that's just been dropped off. They place her on a stretcher.
Bottom, you guys got bottom right there that's being weighed.
Weigh her.
Where's the big one?
77, Chris.
And then take her to a tent where she'll be measured and given an ultrasound. While the deer is laying on the table, sedated and blindfolded, the team attempts to calm her.
Oh, I'm just rinsing her mouth out. I'm just giving her a drink of water, just making her feel a little better.
Lisa Wolf is a veterinarian with the state.
And now I'm giving her some oxygen just so that she can catch her breath.
The whole process is stressful for the deer, but Wolf says it's essential to figuring out this mystery. One thing is certain, the Piance Basin has seen dramatic changes over the past 20 years. Wolf says the road building and habitat split has been a major shift for these generations of mule deer. The contrast, she says, is stark.
Especially at night, because everything lights up and you're like, you know, you're so used to being out in the middle of nowhere, and then now it's all lit up and it's like, whoa, where am I?
And you know, if we're noticing, I'm sure the deer are too.
Yeah, yeah. And deer are pretty adaptable. It's just making sure they have plenty of good habitat.
This 10-year study is just one of many going on right now in the West. In Utah, researchers are focusing on how coyotes play into the mix. Some states have been proactive, paying out more money for dead coyotes. Here in Colorado, oil and gas development isn't expected to disappear anytime soon. So this study will be used to figure out better ways for the two populations, mule deer and humans, to coexist. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Luke Runyon.
The U.S. Department of Energy will invest $4.2 million in a Colorado project to make solar energy cost competitive with other forms of energy by the end of the decade. The Denver Post reports that the money, part of the department's SunShot initiative, will fund work at the University Corporation for Atmospheric Research, based in Boulder. Working with federal agencies, the group will research methods to improve the accuracy of solar forecasts. The Post reports that the project is part of a broader $8 million investment by the Energy Department to help utilities and grid operators better forecast when, where, and how much solar power will be produced at U.S. solar energy plants. The department says that reducing the installed cost of solar by about 75% will drive widespread, large-scale adoption of the technology. Last week, the San Miguel County Board of Commissioners unanimously approved an emergency temporary moratorium on new telecommunications towers. The Telluride Daily Planet reports that the moratorium follows the commissioner's reluctant approval of a special use permit application for Mercury Towers last month. The company will be building a nearly 200-foot cell tower just outside of Norwood. The Planet reports that commissioners said the Mercury application lacked early community involvement and the location was at odds with the local master plan guidelines on scenic quality. However, the commissioners approved the tower in a 2-to-1 vote, citing community support for the project and a tight deadline for tower leaseholder AT&T. County Planning Director Mike Rosicki told the Planet that his office has received several inquiries in recent weeks about more new towers in unincorporated parts of the county. Commissioners say the moratorium will give them and county staff time to amend the land use code to address the procedure for projects like these and avoid situations like what happened in Norwood. The commissioners will consider extending the moratorium for an additional 6 months at a public hearing in mid-January. Until then, the Planet reports that the county will accept but not approve applications or permits for new towers that are 35 feet or taller in all zone districts, except the West End. And finally today, Western Colorado's growth rate slowed during the first decade of the century. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that according to state demographic projections, there wasn't a sharp population increase in the region, but there will be positive growth over the next decade. Grand Junction Area Chamber of Commerce President Diane Schwenke told the Sentinel that the economic recovery that started in 2011 elsewhere had a slowing effect in western Colorado. She said that uncertainty over Social Security and taxes is contributing to slowing growth in Western Colorado because retirees and companies are waiting to see what happens before they make decisions about locating here. And that concludes your local newscast for Monday. For KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, my name is Eric Gould. I'll be with you all this week. Have a great day, and thanks so much for listening.